Yard Dirt, the podcast about anything and everything witchy from a practitioner and non-practitioner's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Zoe, and I'm a witch.
I'm Andrew. I'm not.
This is it. Welcome.
I heard we got an exciting episode ahead of us.
We do.
Something about graveyard dirt.
I know. I'm so excited. But first, we have the card of the day.
Yes, the card of the day is...
So, if you're new here, every episode we go over a card, a tarot card.
Yes.
In no particular order, Andrew gives his initial interpretation of the card, and then I give mine as a tarot reader.
Right.
So today we have the Three of Pentacles. This depicts a young man working on a part of what we're going to assume is a cathedral. In front of him is what we again assume are architects holding plans for the design. They appear to be discussing his progress.
Yeah, and then above them are three pentacles.
Yes, that's part of the cathedral design.
I see that. Yeah, it looks like an old-timey church. Yeah, I would kind of take this at face value as, like, either something is in progress or you're actively working on something or you should be actively working on something or something is holding you back from working on something. And I would probably have to figure out which one of those it is based off of other cards that come up with it. But that's what I'm seeing initially. What? Also, this dude has a slick robe with a cool hat. I don't know. It looks like it's just a onesie. You know, he's like really... Yeah. Yeah. I think the kids call it drip these days.
Oh my God.
Yeah. His drip is on fleek.
Oh my God. Stop talking. In a general context, this card indicates things like learning, studying, and hard work. Mm-hmm. It's focusing on attention to detail, like the stone worker, and commitment. It's also a card that's usually seen as like collaboration or like apprenticeship, team effort, like that kind of like work environment.
Okay. I was just talking about masonry today, stonework. Yeah, when you flow up, fill a pipe, you have to plug the end. And our specs call for PCC concrete. And I said, what kind? And they said, I don't know. I said, how about we brick and mortar? And they said, that's probably a good way to do it. So there you go. Masonry work.
In reverse, this can indicate not learning from your mistakes, a lack of commitment, poor work ethic, delays, and conflict.
Yeah, so that sounds right. The opposite of things.
It's not always the opposite. Sometimes it's a blockage. Sometimes it's something's emerging. We could have a whole episode on reversal.
It's like your brick wall is falling down.
Are you ready for our main topic?
What's it about?
Graveyard Dirt.
Whoa.
I think there's a podcast by that name.
Yeah, I heard about it. I don't know if they're any good.
It's funny because I can't argue.
Yes. And if you go back and listen to our first episode where my fun fact was the difference between a graveyard and a cemetery, please, you will be wait, up to...
Hold. I will have you repeat.
I hope I get it right this time.
So, I think we're on like episode... 21?
No.
I think so.
I think it's closer to 15.
Mm-mm. I can't look back now. I think we're on episode 21.
We're either on 21 or 15.
Okay, anyways. I think we're on episode 21, and we have yet to talk about the title of our podcast,
yeah.
Graveyard Dirt. So, Graveyard Dirt's interesting. It's one of those, like, stereotypical witchy ingredients, but it also gets you like a lot of weird looks.
Yeah.
Like it's something you hear and you're like, oh yeah, that's witchcraft. But also, like, if you talk about it, you're like,
It's also creepy because you're like sneaking onto church property and stealing their soil.
You're not sneaking. Okay.
Just all slyly, like Sly Cooper, just going in there like you thievious raccoon taking some dirt.
So graveyard dirt is really common in folk magic and hoodoo.
And what?
Hoodoo.
You do. That's so funny. All right, keep going.
Its magical connection is really like the person that it came from, their grave site.
Right. Essentially. That's why it's good to maybe talk to a family member.
Yeah, it's really good to like pick somebody that you probably knew in life or know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe wanted to know.
Yeah. So examples would be using like the dirt of a loved one's grave can be used in love magic, protection, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. A lot of books reference soldiers, like using like a soldier's grave dirt.
As protection?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't understand why that seems to be like the draw in books.
I probably wouldn't pick that one. Out of all of my options.
But it's an option.
I would probably pick like a family pet that has passed in the backyard.
Another one that's really used, like another example that's often used is using the dirt of like a judge in spell work that you might use to like win a court case.
Oh yeah, sure. Because that comes up a lot. I'm sure. Okay. Judge Judy over here.
But so again, it's kind of believed that the dirt holds a lot of the same properties as the person that the grave belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, hence those examples.
Yeah. Kind of like the in life as in death kind of thing. And then you're kind of imparting that magic into your surroundings after you pass.
Which leads us into best to choose dirt from someone you know, although mm-hmm. it isn't always plausible. And in that case, I personally recommend getting to know them between the realms. So that can be giving offerings, spending time, creating a relationship before you take the dirt.
Right. And ask permission.
Yeah.
And if they say no, no means no.
Yes. So let's start off, because this is kind of a episode on graveyard dirt and cemeteries in general, because they kind of go hand in hand.
Can you
tell us the difference between graveyards and cemeteries?
Yes, I can.
Please do so.
Okay, yes. Graveyards are usually attached. Well, graveyards by definition would have to be attached to some sort of, usually a church or a religious center, and where they bury their dead is the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
A cemetery is standalone, usually public owned, or it could be privately owned, but mm-hmm. not by a religious group. So they accept all denominations and religions and people
mm-hmm.
of color and sway and everything like that. Very inclusive. Well, I'm not going to say graveyards are not inclusive, but usually you have to be part of the parish to be buried in a graveyard.
Yep. So with that said, the following things that I say in this episode, I will likely use the word graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably referencing a cemetery because the words have kind of become synonymous.
Yeah, in general terms today, I think they're used interchangeably.
When I'm talking about the history of a cemetery, I will try to do my best to not confuse you.
I think you could call it a boneyard, and that would kind of be like a generic term.
I guess. So, before the 1750s, life expectancy was 35 years.
Guys. Terrible. Yeah. Ugh.
In the 7th century Europe, it was strictly the church that was allowed to bury the dead. Nobody else.
Church people making rules, influencing politics.
Exactly. They were in charge of the dead. Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until the 18th century that planned public parks became popular. And those are the cemeteries we know today.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't know how they felt being buried somewhere not connected to religion. So, like, it was kind of wishy-washy, and they weren't super popular to begin with.
Yeah.
Because they were like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not going to get into heaven.
Oh, no.
Yeah. America specifically didn't have any cemeteries.
None. Mm-mm.
Until 1831.
Because they ate their dead.
No. The dead were obviously still buried.
Yeah.
But these large public parks were not common / existing at all. It was your graveyards versus your cemeteries.
Yeah, I could see that.
So cemeteries, none till 1831. Mm. Graveyards, yes.
And what would you call a burial at sea? Would that have any?
Hard,
okay, sure. Because
you have to weigh down the body.
No, they would just float them out there. Sharks.
Yeah, but things like bloat and explode.
Okay, yeah, we'll move on.
Okay. Anyways, buried in churchyards, like cities commonly, because that's where your churches were, because that's where people could easily commune.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the issue was, is that they were becoming overcrowded. It was expensive to maintain, and it was unhealthy.
Yeah, they're just putting a bunch of dead people with everybody else.
So some of these churchyards were like five, six coffins deep.
Yeah, they just keep filling them.
Walls would break during like floods.
Bodies would float out.
Like, it just didn't make much sense, especially because we had a lot of epidemic of like cholera and yellow fever. And so to have like that much dead around, it just wasn't safe.
Not recommended.
So they moved
them away.
Yes. So they stopped really having your churchyard cemeteries or graveyards, and they moved into cemeteries, which were like public parks.
Yeah, which is why
more rural.
Yeah. So a lot of graveyards that you'll see have really, really, really old burials.
Yes. Yes. So specifically, Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge, Massachusetts was the first rural garden cemetery in America. 1831.
Wow.
It's 174 acres.
And it's
a garden cemetery. It's rural, so it was outside of the city. It was safer. It was like...
Yeah, if the dead rose, it would take them a lot longer to get there.
Yeah.
To the city.
Sure.
Yep. They get lost on the back roads. Yeah. It was all around better.
Garden cemeteries, like the one in Cambridge, were built in a time where we didn't have art museums, we didn't have parks, we didn't have gardens. So suddenly there were these big plots of land filled with statues and gardens, and like they were pretty. And it actually drew people in. People flocked to the cemeteries for picnics and carriage racing and hunting. And like it was a park.
Yes, a garden park with just extra dead people.
Yes, which really makes me feel better about the fact that like I basically grew up visiting a garden cemetery. And like that's where I learned how to drive.
Yeah, Swan Point is sweet.
Yes.
That's where H.P. Lovecraft is.
Yes.
And a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah. And Swan Point is 200 acres and didn't actually start until 1846.
Slackers. That's like 15 years later. Wow.
There are quite a few cemeteries in between then.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even though Swan Point's been around for so long, there's still a lot of open space. I mean, you still have, like, the older areas, but, like, the newer spot, there's a ton of space over there. And they also have a crematorium.
Yeah.
Saves a lot of space.
Okay. So, we've determined burial was really a part of health and hygiene, and then it was just creating, like, this space, and people naturally flocked to it. We're kind of backtracking now towards our graveyard dirt.
Yeah.
And creating that relationship with spirits of the cemetery, where you kind of have to decide then, are you looking for graveyard dirt where you are communicating and nurturing that relationship with the people who reside in the cemetery, those human spirits, or are you looking more towards the cemetery guardians, the people that protect that gate, like kind of energy? And again, that can be separated between like human. I wouldn't really say that like your cemetery guardians are the people that like. I also don't personally visualize it like knights standing guard at like your cemetery.
Right.
It's just kind of this is a place for the dead. So naturally, like people that are spirits that are not buried there are still going to flock to there. Just like the living do.
That's where they chill. Right.
Yeah.
That's where all their homies are.
Oh, another fun fact is, like, dogs were really known for eating dead bodies.
Who doesn't?
So, this is the reason that they're often depicted as, like, the guardian to the threshold of the realm of death.
Is that why Cerberus has three heads so it can eat three times the people?
It's, like, connected to the idea that, like, death devours.
The devourer of death.
Yeah.
That's sweet. That's so cool. Dogs are awesome.
Okay, so We have found our cemetery. We have decided on our place.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are working on creating a relationship with the spirits within that space. And we have gotten to a point where we can now take graveyard dirt.
Yes.
Which is also an interesting thing. It's called graveyard dirt, but it's probably a cemetery you're taking it from. And you're usually taking it from a specific grave rather than the whole place. So, like,
mix and match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't go into super detail because, honestly, I feel like every book breaks it down where they're like, wear comfortable clothing. Wear something you can get dirty.
Something you can run away with.
A small trowel. And, like,
your gardening basket.
It makes sense. Obviously. I don't know. I guess.
Why doesn't anyone say bring a Ziploc bag in your bare hands? You know?
I will be honest, though. Like, I never have a trowel. I have used straws and spoons as my, like, main.
Yep. Like, I've seen it. Yeah. Scrounging around for anything.
But I think it's a good reminder because when I think trowel, I think, like, a large amount of dirt. And really, you really should only be ever taking, like, a handful, maybe.
So, yeah, see? Back to the bare hand situation. Bare hands and a Ziploc baggie. Just get in there.
So, we've created this relationship. We're ready to take the dirt. This is where it comes into mind that this is not just, like, a I take kind of a thing. This is an exchange. It's an exchange of energy. It's an exchange. It, partially, if you're taking the dirt and you're like, I'm going to use this for protection, it's kind of like giving the spirit a job, in a mm-hmm. sense. Even though you're not bringing the actual spirit home with you, but, like,
so you're supposed to give them money?
So we're going to give an offering.
There you go. Okay, I see.
And this Tradesies. Offering can be a multitude of things. So, yes, money.
Mm-hmm.
Commonly, pennies.
Yep. Wow.
That's like my favorite offering for a cemetery. My children steal all the pennies. Not yeah. like from the cemetery. My pennies. Mm-hmm. They steal my pennies from the car. And just had to like clarify that. But, and that has like cool history too. Pennies used to be used to like weigh down the eyes because obviously when you're dead, your eyelids. So they would put pennies on the eyes to keep the eyelids shut. Huh.
I thought it was to pay the ferryman.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, and then it's also connected to pay your toll money for, and forgive me if I say this incorrectly, charon, which is to cross the river to the dead.
There you go.
So people still leave the pennies.
The river Styx. So like people, in Hercules,
yes.
The animated movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So people do still leave pennies. We don't need them, obviously, because we have different embalming, like
we use credit
processes, so we don't need to weigh down the eyes,
mm-hmm.
our eyelids.
Eyelids.
Another one is shells.
Nice shells.
Shells. Specifically conch shells, but now, I mean, I feel like if you go into any cemetery in, like, New England, you're going to find shells on, like, graves.
Mm-hmm.
But it is specifically connected to the South. Conch shells were left for... The enslaved believed that the conch shell helped, like, protect souls as they traveled the river to the other side.
Mm.
And so it is a common practice in hoodoo.
So when you say the South, you mean, like, southern North America,
yeah.
Like the Gulf area?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's it called? French. Like, New Orleans is?
Yes.
French.
What?
There was another word I was trying to figure out.
moving on.
Yeah.
I'm slightly confused by your statement.
Okay, that's fine. I'll figure it out later. You'll post it.
Okay.
In the Instagram.
Rocks.
Love rocks.
Love rocks.
Rocks are good. Soft rocks are good. Not soft. Like soft on the eyes, like nice and light.
Like white rocks.
White rocks, white green rocks, pink rocks, light blue.
So you're going to see a lot of white rocks.
Yeah.
Cemeteries, that tends to be. And like heart-stoned rocks.
Mm.
People like to leave heart-stoned rocks.
I like the smooth ones that fit in your hand nice.
There you go. This is actually a Jewish custom. And it was believed that at each visit to a grave, you found a pebble and it would be placed on top of the headstone. The meaning really isn't known, like, why that is a thing.
But if someone knows.
It's like overarching, like it's not really a known thing. Some believe that it's for protection. Some believe that it was like a tether to the like earth realm to to like help them crawl. Like, it's just not really, it's like, yeah, it could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it obviously has since evolved, like the pennies to now heart stones and just kind of like a reminder of like, hey, I was here.
Nice. I like the idea of the rocks being protection because in our D&D campaign, somebody cast magic rock and there's like handing out rocks to everybody in case we have to throw something. Magic stone. Yeah, that was the spell.
A common one, flowers.
Flowers are nice.
Yeah.
Flowers die.
Yes. This is like one of your more common offerings. They do die. Lots of garden cemeteries have people that come around and they collect the flowers, etc. Sometimes you plant the flowers,
oh, that's which is a good
often
idea.
Offered as a way to collect graveyard dirt.
Oh, I see. You trick them.
Like, you don't trick.
It's you say, here, I'll put this flower here, and don't worry, I'll remove the dirt free of charge. That's part of our specifications at Deldot.
It's not a trick for the spirit. It's for those that feel like it looks weird to be collecting dirt from a gravestone. So to other alive human spirits, it looks like you're just planting flowers. Honestly, I don't care.
No.
So.
No, you don't. You go in there with a straw. Just start hacking away. Dig. Yeah.
No,
it's resourceful. Yeah, like a raccoon.
Also, a cool fact was that the Romans would let flowers, they would leave flowers on top of graves. And it was believed that if like the flowers took root, that it meant a person's soul had found peace on the other side, which I always find like little tidbits like that interesting because then I'm like, all right, obviously this wasn't like an overarching thing because think about how many plants don't take root, like how hard that is. So I feel like it was one of those things where, like, if it happened, they were like, oh.
Yep.
They're like, they found peace. But, like, if it didn't happen, you just didn't say anything.
Yeah. It's, oh, shoot. Yeah. It's the survivor something or other. Like, where you look at, like, the things that survived, the things that, like worked. Whole, and you're like, oh, that's it.
Or, like, the whole, like, if it rains on your wedding, it's good luck. Nobody's going to look at, like, a sunny wedding and be like, man. Didn't rain.
Bad luck. Sucks.
We're going to get a divorce. I don't know. Things like that. But also, like, I love the idea of, like, it taking root. It's pretty.
Yeah. Okay.
And since there's also, like, Victorian, like, the language of flowers.
Is that why they put flowers on gravestones? Like, they carve them into the gravestones? Because flowers have, like, meaning?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, like, the Victorian language of flowers has, like, since reemerged as well, I feel like, especially with, like, social media and stuff like that. People are just learning more things, and different flowers have different connections. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you pick a flower that you're like, hey.
Good luck out there.
Personal offerings.
Mm-hmm.
These are things, for example, like coffee and ice cream at H.P. Lovecraft's grave.
Mm-hmm.
They're things that can be personal to you, personal to the person that you're leaving the offering to, or just like, I don't know, maybe something that you were taught generationally.
Yeah.
So, can be weird things, can be not weird things.
Mm-hmm. It could just be a conversation.
Yes, which leads me to my last offering example, which is time.
Yeah, time and energy and love.
Yes. And so that's sitting, that's talking, reading a book. Honestly, just the act of visiting is an offering.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like to leave something like, what's the word? Physical.
Yeah, sure. And that's to each their own.
But yes. Ink.
Your love language is gift giving.
Yes. To the alive and the dead.
Yes.
So we've left our offering. We are now collecting our graveyard dirt. I don't know. Whatever you want to keep it in. A jar.
Pocket.
There you go.
A nice jar. I'm always good for like a nice pre-used like dip jar that's been repurposed. You know, finding.
Yes. Yes, you do love your dip jars.
Yeah. Or mason jar.
The next step of where did we collect our dirt from? So in this example, we collected it from the physical grave.
Yeah. Or so. Yeah. Grave.
Yes. You can collect it from like as an overarching cemetery mm-hmm. dirt rather than a specific grave. It's usually recommended not the gate of a cemetery.
There's a lot of people that pass through there. I feel like there's not
so the gate like is often a connection. Very sad. It's full of a lot of sorrow. That is like the place. The gate is more of like a place of the living than it is of the dead. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very sad.
Sure. Yeah.
But in all of that, it's kind of interesting. So the big fancy gate entrance of a cemetery really wasn't a component until the 19th and 20th century, kind of like with architectural wise.
Sure.
Cemeteries were essentially removed from the cities. Like we said, we moved them to the rural place. And it was about creating a barrier between the dead and our quote-unquote, like, living realms.
Yeah, you're creating a threshold, a gate, a bypass area. Yeah.
And so these pretty reminders that were like that we were leaving the mundane world behind and we were kind of entering this new world. Cities were a grid and cemeteries commonly have like a grid system in a sense. They have their own roads. They have like their own setup.
Yeah.
It is like a whole other world.
Yes.
Which is cool. It's also usually pretty complex, their like system. It's not like super.
Because, yeah, well, a grid like pattern when cities were created is so that you can like easily navigate and get from point A to point B. Exactly. But I feel like when you go to a cemetery, it's not really, that's not the reason you're going to like get somewhere.
I will say, like, I visited a graveyard, actually, not a cemetery, a graveyard in Lewis, the beach.
Delaware.
Yep. And it was 300 years old, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of people that came over from Europe that were buried there. There was no system. It was where we could fit you.
Just where you fell.
It was where we could fit you kind of thing, which was pretty cool, kind of. It was a little confusing to walk through because you had to make sure you didn't step on anybody. And it was like, there's somebody in every corner.
That would suck.
But it was also really pretty, like, when you stepped back and you were like, just the way that they were all kind of, I don't know, it sounds silly, the way they were all crowded together.
Mm. The way they made it work. You know, it's 300 years old. That's just, like, early 1700s.
Just, I don't know. It was pretty.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
And also, really high water table down in Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Oh, yeah. It was up there.
Yeah.
It was high. They had, like, whoop.
Yeah. I'm not sure if anyone knows, like, the elevation of their state, but, like, down in Lewis, Delaware, it's, like, 1 foot above sea level. Like, 2 feet above sea level. That's not a lot.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they came floating out at one point.
Oy.
That's why they put them in concrete.
Oy. So you found your cemetery. You've created your relationship. You've collected your dirt. And now you can do things.
You do whatever you want. Yeah.
There's
it's your dirt. Things.
It is ultimately an ingredient within your spell work.
Yeah.
It can also be used as your earth element. It can be used as just overall protection. Keep it on your altar. Keep it on your body. It is a connection, an ingredient, like a correspondence.
Nice. I like that.
Love it. And I like cemeteries.
Yeah, they're sweet.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're wicked cool.
So, there you go.
Nice. Very cool.
Great if you're a dare.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Of the podcast, too.
Yep, absolutely. It's the best.
All right. Do you have a fact for us?
Yeah, it's not a big one.
Okay.
Just something I'm kind of digging right now, kind of like your graveyard dirt.
Okay.
With your straws and your spoons.
My straws and spoons long.
Yeah, I started playing Pokemon, the trading card game.
Yes.
Pretty cool. But it reminded me of something that Nintendo, which was actually started in like 1890.
Okay.
As a card company.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, super simple. But now they do all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff.
All the Nintendo systems.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. They were like doing stuff for like 70 years before they started doing like game systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also just like that they came out when everybody questioned, "What's Mario and Luigi's last name?"
Yeah.
They're like, "Well, it's called the Mario Brothers."
Yeah.
So like, what's their last name? And so it was like, jokingly, like, oh,
it's Mario.
Yeah. And Nintendo was just like, yeah, sure.
Yep, you're right.
Yep. So it's Mario, Mario, Luigi, Mario.
Yeah, that's how I play D&D. You know, if my players say something real dumb, like, you're right, that's it. That's why there's a boat here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well.
That's it. It's super exciting. I like Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Pokemon.
Yeah. Our oldest is very into Pokemon right now.
Yeah, so is our middleist.
Yes.
But so is my nephew.
Can understand
yeah.
more than our middleist.
Yes. Yeah, he can. I can't wait for her to, like, learn how to read and do simple math.
She has the basic understanding.
I know, but, like, she also has to, like, assign definitions to words. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is trample damage and how is that assigned? So we can play Magic the Gathering. I'm already thinking about decks.
We played two rounds of Pokemon and we beat you in both.
I got shafted. It was not even a competition. The first one, I was like, okay, I guess I just don't play anymore.
All right, you guys. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of whenever you're listening to this.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next week for our mini-sode where we talk about anything and everything that is maybe witchy or maybe not witchy.
Something I'm digging, probably Pokemon. Still at that point. Something you want to bury? Probably how often I keep losing.
Until then, bye.
Later, Gator.